Today, no homes for you, the structural desolation of dwelling approval falls. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance and the Lists. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news. Well, yesterday the ABS released the latest data on dwelling approvals. They fell 0.3% in April after a 2.7% rise in March. That's according to the seasonally adjusted data, with just 13,078 new homes signed off for construction in the month. Looking at the mix, approvals for private houses fell 1.6%, while approvals for private sector dwellings excluding houses also fell but 1.1% in April in seasonally adjusted terms. April figures were well short of the 20,000 homes that will be needed to construct every month if the country is to hit the federal government's target of building 1.2 million new homes in the space of 5 years starting in July. The chronic housing supply issue will remain a problem and will put upward pressure on home prices and rents, leading to higher inflation and so higher interest rates for longer. And as I've highlighted before, the excluding houses series tends to be more volatile because they by definition contain blocks of individual dwellings, so are more lumpy. But given the high demand for property, the falls again underscore the real problems that we have in the home construction sector. The ABS said total dwelling approvals fell in Tasmania, down 16.1%. New South Wales fell 4.5%. Western Australia fell 0.9%, but there were rises in South Australia at 13.9%. and Queensland at 5%, while Victoria was flat in April. And meanwhile, approval for private sector houses decreased in New South Wales, down 5%, Victoria down 2%, Queensland down 0.2%, and South Australia down 0.1%. But it did rise in Western Australia, up 3.5%. The total value of buildings approved fell 3.8% as well, following a 13.8% rise in March, and the value of total residential buildings fell 3.2%, comprising of a 3.8% drop in new residential buildings and a 0.4% rise in alterations and additions. Following these figures, the Master Builders Australia said approvals need to drastically escalate. The new National Housing Accord kicks off in less than 5 weeks' time and envisages 240,000 new homes each year, Chief Economist Shane Garrett said. However, the past 12 months have seen less than 163,500 new home building approvals across Australia. Just 60,600 higher density dwellings were approved over the year to April. This is the lowest total for any 12-month period since September 2012, almost 12 years ago. The challenge is massive, but not impossible, but it requires a 47% increase in the volume of new home building output. Now, we've discussed before the problems relating to getting approvals through the complex planning processes, the lack of available workers in construction, which are being enticed into public and commercial projects, a lack of interest in buying off the plan from prospective purchasers because of the greater risk of not getting a quality product delivered at all, and the continued failure of individual construction firms, which continues at a significant pace. Master Builders Australia CEO Denita Warne said that the government needed to address the issues facing the construction industry, otherwise Australians will continue to be hit by surging rents and home prices. We have to rapidly increase housing production to reach Housing Accord targets, but some in government have left the handbrake on, she said. The hurdles are clear to everyone. Approval delays, tradie shortages, material cost inflation, out-of-touch industrial relations changes, inefficient regulation, and more. She went on to say, we're beginning to sound like a broken record, but the situation is critical. If we don't clear the obstacles stopping builders from getting on with the job, we won't have any hope of reaching the 1.2 million new homes target by 2029. The community is crying out for more housing supply, but if we don't urgently clear the way for builders to get on with the job, demand will continue to dwarf supply and Australians will continue to feel the impacts of the housing crisis. And I also note the construction sector appears to have been disappointed by the degree of support from the budget for the sector. So it is actually unlikely that approvals will turn up anytime soon. And in addition, as the Guardian reported, developers have yet to begin work on almost 40,000 new homes across Australia, including 11,170 in Sydney, despite being granted building approvals, with stubbornly high interest rates and construction costs being blamed. According to KPMG analysis released earlier in the week, 15,593 dwellings with planning approval were yet to break ground across New South Wales by December 2023. It was only a slight improvement on the state's figures a year earlier, when there were 15,818 approved dwellings across New South Wales where work had yet to commence. In Victoria, 7,897 dwellings, 6,840 of which are in Melbourne, were yet to break ground, compared with 9,577 stalled projects at the same time in 2022. And the KPMG urban economist Terry Ronsley, who conducted the analysis, Sydney and Melbourne make up almost half of all approved but not yet commenced projects across the country. About 80% of those stalled projects were townhouses and apartments. He said that the higher costs of materials and finance was making it harder for developers to build larger projects profitably, while increases in interest rates had limited buyers' purchasing power. With all the construction price increases and where interest rates have landed, it's hard for developers to make those more medium to high density projects stack up, Ronsley said. Sometimes people also forget that interest rates also impact on the developer side as well. It means they can't borrow as much to get the projects up and running. According to KPMG, Brisbane has seen a 3.8% increase in stalled dwellings over the past 12 months, largely with detached housing, while the ACT has a record number of buildings approved but not started, almost doubling from 864 to 1,772. Adelaide and Perth remained pretty stable. Jago Dodson, a professor of urban policy at RMIT University of Melbourne, said developers' conservative approach in recent years was due to constraints caused by labour, materials and finance. There are probably a lot of developers that are making the decision that it's cheaper and less risky to press pause at this point in time rather than proceed and expose themselves to a whole raft of risks that are historically unusual, he said. For the preceding 20 years, we had a very stable construction sector, material costs and interest rates. It's a bit of a departure from that period that we've been witnessing in the past couple of years. And until we can see some clarity as to what the future holds, it would not be surprising to see more developers making these decisions to pause at the planning stage. So unless things change, the gap between the supply of dwellings and meeting demand will continue to grow, driving home prices and rents higher, and therefore pushing inflation higher, which leads to higher interest rates and mortgage costs. Step one, of course, should be to trim migration meaningfully back to bring the supply and demand into better balance, remembering that on a per capita basis, we're currently still building more dwellings than most other Western countries, as I discussed recently with Tara Brooker. There is a strategic path to tackle the issues we face, but it seems to be politically impossible, so more people will struggle to find a place to live, something which should be a basic human right and a priority for government. Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultants standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.